As you know, we are continuing this morning our series, Whispers of Eternity. And we are also continuing going through Ephesians, and this week we're in Ephesians chapter 4. There are a huge amount of references to unity in this chapter. Please look with me at the following verses just to see the emphasis on unity. So, for example, verse 3 mentions the unity of the Spirit. Verse 4 talks about one body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. Verse 7 tells us that to each one of us, grace has been given. Verse 13 talks about reaching unity in the faith. Verse 25 reminds us that we are all members of one body. Again, a great emphasis on unity. And verse 29 talks about us doing what is helpful for building others up. And there is also a reference to being humble, hence those two readings we had this morning from Numbers and from James. Verses 1 and 2, and then verse 32, they provide what you might think of as a header and footer for the chapter. You think of a piece of stationery with a header and a footer. Look at verses 1 and 2 with me, which I would think of as the header. As a prisoner of the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. What a great header for this chapter. And then the footer, verse 32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So with that introduction, let's now jump in and read from verses 1 to 13. Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 1. Paul says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? Well, this seems to be a reference to the fact that God, Jesus, descended to earth when he took on flesh and lived among us, before dying in our place, rising from the dead, and ascending back into heaven. Verse 10 continues, he who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. My friends, Jesus is our universal God. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And in these last three verses, we have a mandate for today and also a whisper of eternity. The mandate for today is for the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, and for every member of the body of Christ. So that includes all of us who have been born again. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers specifically have a mandate to equip Christ's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. And we all have a mandate to do those works of service, again, for the very same reason, so that the body of Christ may be built up. And of course, these works of service remind us of Paul's words just two chapters back in Ephesians chapter 2 that we looked at a couple of weeks ago. Let me remind you, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10, where Paul says, "It is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Remember, we're told that we are not saved by works, but he goes on to say in those verses, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So you see, we all have a mandate to do those works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And as I said, here we have a whisper of eternity in Ephesians chapter 4. Yes, we want unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God now and today. Yes, we want to become mature in this lifetime. Yes, we want to attain the whole measure of the fullness of Christ this week, this month, and this year. And if we are honest, we know that this will reach its full fulfillment when Christ returns and for eternity. But I can hear you saying, "Yes, Mark, but what about today or this week? What work of service can we do so that the body of Christ may be built up?" Well, if you're willing, we have come up with an idea. And we move on to our next slide. The Lockdown Encouragement Exchange. To set the context, you know, we've been in lockdown now, on and off, for over a year. And I think for many people, there's what you might call lockdown fatigue. And at the beginning, we were encouraging each other in all kinds of ways. And maybe we've got a bit of an encouragement fatigue also. And so, You know, there's a sense in which maybe the church says, well, give us an idea, give us something to do. Well, we've come up with a lockdown encouragement exchange inspired by our passage today, Ephesians chapter 4, and here is how it works. We've got slides going through with this. So number one, please reply to my email, which I'm going to send out later today, or if you have to, phone me, so that you can be part of this. Phone me to say that you want to be part of this, or reply to the email. Number two, once we know how many people want to take part, we will then link people or families together and let you know who you are linked with. Number three, what we would suggest, please, is that within 2 weeks, so ideally before Sunday the 28th of February, send or deliver something of encouragement to the person or people that you have been linked with. Number four, the encouragement could include a letter or a card, some words of encouragement, a verse or verses of scripture, a drawing or picture, or something even more creative. And I know you guys are very creative. Please remember, people will appreciate encouragement. They probably don't need a sermon. And lastly, number five, depending on the practicalities, you could either deliver this encouragement by hand or send it via the post. And we'll talk more about encouragement in part two. Welcome back, and we're now in part two of our message. When I was in my teens and early 20s, I changed my clothes numerous times per day. For a start, when I got home from school, I had to take off my horrible school uniform and put on something more fashionable. When I worked in shops and offices, I had my suits and ties for work and other clothes for going out in the evening. But if I'm honest, now that I'm an old geezer, and even more so since lockdown, I just seem to put the same clothes in the wash and wear them again in rotation. I think that I have only bought one item of clothing since the first lockdown last year. But even so, you will be pleased to know I love to have a shower and put on some clean clothes. The second part of our passage today talks about putting off, putting on, and putting off again. Let's continue reading Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 14. And please remember that we ended part 1 with an exhortation to build each other up through works of service. And what is interesting is that Paul says that if we do, then it will transform our church. Let's see how. Verse 14. If we build each other up through works of service, verse 14, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. It makes sense if we're encouraging each other to get into the Word of God. We're protecting each other too. Instead, verse 15, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. You see, if we behave like a body, the body of Christ, we will experience life as the body. If we invest in the body will be blessed. But it will take commitment. And Paul goes on and talks about this commitment. So I tell you, in verse 17, so I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. You see, my friends, we have got to see ourselves as the people of God. We have got to behave as the redeemed of the Lord. We have got to put into practice what we have learned. We have got to put off the old and put on the new. And when we have done that, we have got to put off some more of the old. Let's read from verse 20. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbour, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Verse 28 is really key. We don't just put off, we must also put on. We don't only give up old things, we must also take up new things. When we talk about rehabilitation, it is not just about giving up old bad habits. It is also about adopting new good habits as well. And this is something that Christian rehab has learned over the years. Places like Yeldor Manor and the Kenwood Project, where I worked years ago, they have understood this secret. Those who have been stealing to support their dependency to drugs or alcohol are encouraged to give up stealing, to give up the drugs or the alcohol, and to start working. Verse 28 says, anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Working is an integral part of the healing process in drug and alcohol rehabilitation. And working for the kingdom of God is an integral part of our healing too, in the process of being transformed to be like Christ. We're being encouraged this morning to work. Let's work at encouraging each other. As we saw in part 1 and in verse 12, God wants us to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. God wants us to encourage each other. And for this reason, we have come up with the lockdown encouragement exchange. And hopefully we can see that slide again. Here is a reminder of how it works. So number one, please reply to my email, which I'll send out later today, or phone me to say that you want to be part of this. And we do want to encourage everybody to get involved in this thing of encouraging each other. You may say it's a gimmick, you may say it's a challenge or something, but actually sometimes we need something like a gimmick to actually get us into how important encouraging each other really is. So that's number one. Number two, once we know how many people want to take part, we will link people or families together and let you know who you are linked with. Number three, we would like to suggest that within 2 weeks, ideally before Sunday the 28th of February, that you send or deliver something of encouragement to the person or people you have been linked with. Number four, now the encouragement could include a letter or a card, words of encouragement, a verse of scripture, a drawing or a picture, or something more creative, a photo, all kinds of things. People would appreciate encouragement, but remember, they probably don't need a sermon. And number five, depending on the practicalities, you could deliver it by hand or send it via the post. And last of all, if you're going to take part, we'd like to say thank you.